You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, future Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Brown. He will join us coming up on loan from the NFL Network. Josh Norman of the Buffalo Bills, their defensive back, will join us. And Chris Webber, NBA on TNT, will stop by as well. You can in a variety of ways. You can dial us up, email, you can tweet, do all the above. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. Proud to be partners with Peacock. Doing great things there and our radio affiliates around the country. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address is dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter at DP Show. And we thank you again. Signing up for the newsletter, danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner, and you'll get an email that sums up the show. The backroom guys, led by Mario, they do a great job with this every single day. And if you miss the show, it's a great way to catch up on everything that we did on the program earlier in the day. I begin with basketball. I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets are the best team in the NBA, but you could argue they're certainly the most interesting. And it's been a slow rollout here with the NBA season. And I've said probably about 25 games in, then you'll start to get a little more excited about it. We're going to see how good teams are, the patterns there. I think these players are getting in shape during the season, not prior to the season, and it's understandable with what happened in the bubble. But watching last night, national TV, Nets beat the Bucks. Kevin Durant, James Harden led the way with 64 combined points. Now, you're going to get this discussion today, analysis today. Maybe you got it last night. And the reaction is going to be, wow, how about Harden and Durant after only two games? Well, they did play about 200 games together when they were teammates. I just want to point that out, okay? I don't want to be a buzzkill where you go, man, after two games, what are they going to be like after 20? They played 200 games together in Oklahoma City, I'm guessing, give or take a few. They know each other. The key is going to be when Kyrie returns, and maybe that's on Wednesday. But this is a great offensive team, as you come to expect. Harden seems comfortable. I think KD is probably your leading candidate for the MVP this year. You got a three-point specialist in Joe Harris, so you can score with anybody. Problem is, you're going to run into somebody who can score, and can you play defense? They don't have a rim protector, and I know I'm probably nitpicking, and you probably don't care to hear about this in January, but you go back to the championship Warriors teams, even when KD was there. They're a whole lot better defensively than you remember. The numbers bear that out. Golden State was a good defensive team. They could score with anybody, but they could play defense. Now, maybe Brooklyn is just one of those teams that says, we're going to try to outscore you every single night. We're not worried about playing defense. You better worry about playing defense. The big three haven't played together yet, but all eyes in the NBA will certainly be on that debut when Kyrie does come back. Here is Steve Nash, one of the head coaches of the Brooklyn Nets.
Just want him to ramp up accordingly to protect him from unnecessary injuries. So I think he got some work yesterday, possibly today. He'll get some work tomorrow, and then we'll go to Cleveland, and hopefully he'll be available on Wednesday night.
Yep, that might be the debut of Kyrie Irving. And I don't know if there's anything else attached to Kyrie other than what I told you, and that was I thought this was COVID-related and he was being punished by the NBA. Maybe he checked out because of what happened at the Capitol with the riots. But he stayed out, and what he did when he was out, he violated COVID protocol. Therefore, the NBA was waiting to punish him. That's why we've been waiting for him to come back. This program brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best-tasting protein bar around. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. Yeah, got a shipment.
You didn't say pumpkin, did you?
I did say pumpkin. Pumpkin chocolate chip, and it's a protein bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off.
Holla at your boy.
Look at that smile right there.
Well,
huh?
I kept this in my office because I put it in the mailroom, and then all of a sudden it was a free-for-all, and I said to Seton, can you reach out to Built Bar and tell them, could you send me some reinforcements here? Because all of a sudden, Todd wants a Built Bar, or
I
two,
do.
Or
five.
Three. All right, McLevin, what kind of poll question are we sitting on today?
Okay, we have a few really interesting and one kind of dark and demented poll question from Paulie. Are the Nets better off without Kyrie Irving? I'm going to say it. Yes or no, Dan Patrick? Is it too early?
It's too early to tell. Well, because I know, like, Harden is your point guard. it's going to be hard for Kyrie's not a great passer. Or he could be. He doesn't choose. I mean, he has 5 assists, 6 assists a game for a guy who has the ball all the time. It's going to be really incumbent upon him to blend his game with Harden and Durant because those two know each other. And now Kyrie, you're kind of a two guard, but you have point guard skills, and Harden's going to have the balls. That one's tricky there a little bit, but I just want to see. Kyrie was either, you know, I went both ways with this start this season. When this was all coming together, when they got Harden, I go, it's on Kyrie. That's it. That's what it comes down to. Kyrie blends in, is complementary with these two players, because these are two elite players at what they do. Kyrie is fascinating and not afraid of a big moment, can't stay healthy, has the best handle in the game. We know all of these things. But can he be that team player to help these two? Because Harden is still at a higher level than Kyrie, and so is KD. Now it's up to Kyrie to say, what do I need to do to make us better? And if he does that, then, yeah, he will help this team. I just don't know. Mood swings. Is he going to pout? Is he going to get his shots, not get his touches? I have no idea. This is all ego-driven when it comes to this high of a level of you know, players who have to have the ball. You know, there was a moment yesterday, last night, Harden's got the ball, KD's got his arm out, and just throw it to him. And Harden went the other way, took the shot, and scored. I mean, it's not – basketball's not as easy as they make it, but it does look pretty easy sometimes to those two. All right, what else, McLovin?
Just a second question, because you talked about it. Who brings the ball up, or does it not
it
even –
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It's not even really a valid question.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Did Golden State have a point guard?
Draymond or Curry? No, actually.
Like Quinn Cook was a point guard, and he was on the bench.
KD brings it up all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
And he has no problem doing that.
But he has a great handle, even for a guy at 7 feet. If you're guarding him, you know, he's going to have a better handle than you think, and he's going to be able to beat you off the dribble if he has to. But I don't think any of that matters. It used to where you'd go, we got to have our point guard and have our two guard and got to have a small forward. None of that matters anymore. Just get the ball into the front court and do your damage after that. What else do you have?
Okay. This, as I mentioned, a dark demented poll from Paul. Would you bet your life that Patrick Mahomes plays this weekend? But I want to spice it up a little. You have your life on one side and that new $1.5 billion lottery that's out there right now. So do you got to have something like bet your life or $1.5 billion that Mahomes plays this weekend on Sunday?
Well, he's going to play because it's not a concussion. And I think when we hear concussion, then we get a little more nervous here. Plus, I don't know if it's an independent doctor who was examining him on Sunday. Who's examining now during the week is what I would be curious about. Is it the team doctor? And we found out that, you know, this is a tweaked nerve in his neck. And maybe it got compressed. Now, this according to a local report, CBS Sports Radio in Kansas City, that Mahomes easily passed the concussion test because he never had one in the first place. And I've watched the video quite a few times, and you could see that his neck is in an awkward position. But he gets hit in the back of the shoulder, and then the defender, Mack Wilson, goes up and sort of grabs him from behind, twists him a little bit. But Mahomes' helmet does not hit the turf. It hits Mack Wilson's arm. But his reaction looked like somebody who was out on their feet. That looked like a bad concussion, but I'm going to take the report for what it is, that he probably just has a pinched nerve, and how that would affect you like that, I have no idea. But I'm going to guess Patrick Mahomes will be playing in this game. 216 regular season games as Oklahoma City teammates, to be exact, with James Harden and Kevin Durant. So let's not make this out to, man, these guys are just getting to know each other. They know each other. They played together. Kyrie's going to be the odd man in or the odd man out is really going to be the key. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, you know, we were another pre-show discussion that is so controversial and premature that I just absolutely love it for clicks.
Oh, by the way, the Nets win last night. That's 4 in a row. But the Warriors beat the Lakers in a collapse by the Lakers. And that one was one of those, what? Because I think the Lakers were up by 14. And Warriors beat him 115 to 113. All right.
Okay. So this is very premature, and we probably should wait till later in the offseason. But who would you feel most comfortable paying? Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson? And we could ask Joe Thomas coming up. Because I think they're both eligible to start negotiating, even though the teams don't have to pay them at all. They have them for 5 years if they want them, and they're 3 years in.
Yeah, I don't understand why you have to expedite this. But you know, maybe there's salary cap issues here. But you do it for Mahomes, but that's different. They're both going to get extended. And I was told that, you know, Baker was really playing for that next contract this year. And you saw that he played well. And I think the Browns are all in to extend his contract there. And then Lamar Jackson, I'm assuming the Ravens are going to be all in on Lamar Jackson as well. Yeah, McLeod.
Do you wait a year just to see durability? I think it's the only question for, you know, neither of these guys is huge. Although, you would have thought Wentz and Goff would be durable.
It's weird that I would want to wait another year, because you would think with Lamar Jackson, MVP, played well at the end of the season, hasn't played great in the postseason, but I want to see, I'd like to see one more year with that. And you know, after that, then you extend him if you want to. Baker Mayfield, this was 1 year. He had a bad year the previous year, a very good year his rookie year. I'd like to see one more year with this offense, with Kevin Stefanski, just to make sure. Because I'm putting up over $100 million here. Ask the Eagles, did they jump to the conclusions here? Ask the Rams with Jared Goff. Not everybody needs to be paid. They don't, and next guy up, you're going to get $38 million. No, you shouldn't. To me, it's bad business. But Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson are probably going to get extended. Yeah, McLean.
Don't forget Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that was another one. But his was different because I think you had to pay him, and you didn't. We didn't know that much about him. It was all he does is win, and I went, I know, but he doesn't look good. Yeah, but they win. Okay. And then you pay him to, I mean, he might be a bargain now, like $27 million, something like that, and which sounds crazy. And they're not even sold on him. The Rams aren't sold on Jared Goff. Eagles aren't sold on Carson Wentz. It's this rush to what? Extend you? Now, the Cowboys should have done it. I know Dak got injured, obviously. But I think they could have gotten a bargain. I said it over 18 months ago. Do it now. It hurts now. It doesn't hurt as much in a couple of years. And here we are. Dak Prescott has all the leverage. Jerry Jones even acknowledged that. It's going to cost you $40 million a year. You could have gotten him for probably in the low 30s, 18 months ago. And if you look at the course of the contract, you're saving $30 million? Like, I don't know. This doesn't. Jerry Jones, billionaire. And I'm sure he has, you know, a lot of people on his staff who are helping him make that call, but I just didn't understand it. But Baker, I'd like to see one more year. Maybe I'm not being fair to him, but I'd like to see one more year. And Lamar, I probably would. But I'm more apprehensive about giving all this money to these guys because it feels like the next guy up has to make more than the previous guy, and that's not the case. Because Jimmy Garoppolo or Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, they aren't better than these other quarterbacks who make considerably less than they do. Yeah, Paul.
I think you can find a lot of stories from August that Baker Mayfield, the Browns, may not pick up his fifth-year option if he doesn't play well this year. If you're a guy like Mayfield, right now things are great. You played well and your team played well. Do you sign a friendlier contract now or wait another year and see how it plays out? Because if you take a dip next year, you could be in Trubiskyville. Because right now Baker Mayfield's due $10.5 million next year. He could sign a friendly contract and make $33 million next year, or wait.
What is the rush?
Now, I guess I'm saying if I'm Baker and his agent, like I would like to get this done faster and maybe friendlier, because Mahomes' contract is actually somewhat team friendly.
I think Mahomes is going to turn out to be a bargain, and that's strange to say for a team that's spending $500 million. But I do think he'll turn out to be a bargain. But if I don't know Baker Mayfield. You know, I don't know the infrastructure of the people who work with him and, you know, how many of these deals they've done where the, you know, other quarterbacks, does his agent represent other quarterbacks? I don't know. But do they get into that next contract? Everybody wants to get into that second contract as soon as possible. But I don't know if Baker Mayfield could actually, or his representatives could say to the Browns, we want $40 million a year. If that were the case, I'd say, let's see you play another year. Yeah, you know, let's see you play one more year. Say, yeah, you do. You want to bet on yourself? Fine. Because if you think you found your franchise quarterback, then fine. Like the Texans paid Deshaun Watson. And they found their they thought they found their franchise quarterback. Maybe that's going to change here soon. But they saw enough where they said, yes, he's worth this. And he is. But I don't know about Baker Mayfield. And I'm a little skeptical of Lamar Jackson, only because a source told me, hey, not everybody is all in on Lamar being a great, you know, that franchise quarterback. And he said part of the problem is if it was just him and not there was no Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, then we might look at it differently. It's just the expectation level is so high for these younger quarterbacks. And my source even said, we're probably not being fair to Lamar. It just feels like there's people who aren't all in on this. The same guy who told me not everybody's in on Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. And you see those reports that have surfaced now that some, including teammates, haven't been all in. Yeah, Paul.
Mahomes' contract is really fascinating because it's team-friendly now, and then it's Patrick Mahomes-friendly later. Right? This year, Mahomes is only going to make $5.5 million total. There's no big bonus. There's no big roster bonus. But next year, he's going to make 23 and then 30 and then 40 and then 43. And then at age 32, I have him making $60 million for 1 year of football in 2027.
Yeah, but they probably will redo that deal by then.
It's all weighted, but it ramps up like a pyramid.
I think he's going to be underpaid here for the next three years.
Which allows them to keep Hill and Kelsey.
Yes. And that's the important part of this is how much do you make and what's left over to keep players? And I go back to a rift between Peyton Manning and myself that lasted for probably 4 or 5 years. And I think it ended when I was with DirecTV and then they hired Peyton Manning to do commercials for DirecTV and suddenly we were okay. Yeah. But he got upset with me because I said, did you think about taking less so you could keep Edgerrin James? And I think I might have said Reggie Wayne. But, you know, if you take too much, then you're going to lose some of these skilled position players. And Peyton didn't talk to me for a few years there after that. And we moved past it. I think I proved my point there. We'll take a break. Joe Thomas will join us coming up. Does he think the Browns should extend Baker Mayfield's contract? Get his thoughts on just how good the Chiefs are, because he was there in Kansas City to watch that game with Cleveland and Kansas City. Josh Norman, the Bills defensive back, stops by. C. Webb, he will join us as well as we talk about, is Kyrie going to be a plus or a minus for this Nets offense there? So we got a few things to talk about. I got some information on what happened at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt got fired. Nobody in this room was surprised that they were headed that way, but I got some information on just how blatant they were with their recruiting violations. It's pretty interesting. And it has to do with a fast food chain. There's your tease. How about that? It's coming up on 20 after the hour. Phone calls are welcome. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. I just showed you that I had Built Bar. We got a shipment in. Like, that's not a shipment. That's just a box, Seton. I said a shipment of Built Bar.
Maybe there was a shipment and that's all that was left.
No, it was just a small box that came in. And
dang.
Because I like to share with everybody. I like to share in, you know, the wealth of this. But the Built Bars are great. And you can, once you taste them, then you'll understand why I have a hard time keeping them in stock. Soft, easy to chew. They taste great. They're protein bars. Taste like candy bars, but you'll love them. There's 18 flavors, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're looking to lose weight, you don't want something that tastes like cardboard or sawdust. And we've had those snacks. It tastes, you know, when something's supposed to be good for you, it usually doesn't taste good. This does. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code DP. Get 20% off your first order. That's promo code DP, 20% off, builtbar.com. Why not eat something that's good for you and it actually tastes good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dunder Mifflin found a new home. The Office, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know every quote or you're a newbie to Scranton, stream every episode again and again. Sign up at peacocktv.com. Stream now. I got a surprise name for you for the Tennessee vacancy. I have that for you coming up. And some more details on the recruiting violations with the Volunteers. And I think it was probably March or April. And I came in and I said, Paulie, wait for Tennessee to go on probation. And he goes, I know, too many headlines. They signed too many guys. And I went, yep, you can't make this obvious like Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss. Yeah, Paul.
You got to mix a couple two-star and three-star linebackers in there with the four-stars and five-stars.
Yeah, you're getting four and fives. And you're going, wait a minute here.
Too hot.
Wait a minute, too hot. Joe Thomas, NFL Network analyst, former Browns All-Pro offensive tackle, and future Hall of Famer joining us on the program. Can linemen get concussions? How often do you guys get concussions?
You don't get the big hit from like the side of the head, which a lot of times is where you get the concussion, or when you get tackled and your head kind of slams against the turf. So I think for the most part, offensive and defensive linemen are less concussed overall than other positions. But I think what we get is those sub-concussive blows, which are actually the ones that are more detrimental long-term. So when we were working with the NFLPA and talking about like, how do we reduce the amount of long-term brain injury that NFL players get? The number one thing that our doctors highlighted was those practice sub-concussive hits that linemen are constantly banging into each other 20, 30, 40 times every single day. And so I think removing those is really the biggest thing. But as far as like big concussions, you don't see that as much as offensive and defensive linemen.
Do you know the protocol that you have an independent doctor who would have looked at Patrick Mahomes and determined whether he had a concussion or not? Who looks at Patrick Mahomes during the week? Is that the independent doctor or is it the Chiefs doctor?
There's an independent doctor who comes into the facility and he is the one that is supposed to clear the player. Now, it's in Cleveland when I was there, it was the same guy from Cleveland that always came in, but he was separate from the team. So there was some, at least appearance of independence when it comes to clearing the player, as far as it wasn't directly a team paid doctor.
What did you take away from the Browns and Chiefs that game that if you had questions about, let's start with the Chiefs. Like, what's the one question or biggest question you have, assuming Mahomes is going to play this weekend?
Well, I think defensively, how are they going to be able to limit Josh Allen? Because I think Josh Allen has been playing really good. He's playing his best football right now in the playoffs. And the Chiefs' defense has been okay. And I think the big question mark for that defense is, how good can they be in the red zone? Because the Bills are going to get into the red zone a lot. And if they're converting a lot of those red zone trips into touchdowns instead of field goals, I know that the Chiefs' offense is fantastic, but they have a history of keeping games close. And a lot of times those sevens and threes in the red zone is the difference when the game is all said and done.
But explain that to me of how Kansas City keeps allowing teams to stay in games. They win these games, but you know, this is less than a touchdown difference in what their last eight wins.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to the nature of their offense, right? They're a real high-flying offense, which means they can score really quickly. But it also means that teams are going to try to limit the number of possessions going back and forth because they don't want Patrick Mahomes to have the ball a ton. So they're going to play that kind of small ball. They're going to squeeze the football, try to limit the number of possessions back and forth. And that, a lot of times, has a way of keeping games close, especially on offense when you're a team like the Chiefs that you can be on the field and have a three and out in 15 or 20 seconds because you just throw.
Also, you know, you were there to be able to watch Patrick Mahomes. It looked like he was out on his feet. I don't know that injury, if it's a compressed nerve or neck injury. Like, how long does that linger, and could it linger longer than a concussion would?
Well, obviously you have a lot of concerns when you're talking about nerves, because you can go the entire spectrum from like something that lasts with you several years or something that's immediately better as soon as you get to the sideline. And I think once we heard that it was maybe some type of a compressed neck nerve issue, it made sense why he was having a hard time getting that foot under himself, because I was actually at the game. And so the play kind of happened nearly in front of me. And as soon as it happened, it looked like he'd kind of been knocked out like a boxer, where he was having a hard time getting to his feet. But then it kind of made a little bit more sense, because when you get some nerve issue in your leg, a lot of times it gives you what they call drop foot. You know, I've had some back injuries, lumbar spine issues, and that if you get that numbness in your leg, you can kind of get that drop foot, which makes it almost look like you're having a hard time climbing to your feet, because it's a neurological thing. So, you know, hopefully for NFL fans, for Chiefs fans, this is a nerve thing that just takes care of itself really quickly, and it wasn't actually a big type concussion that's going to knock him out for any length of time.
He's Joe Thomas. He works for the NFL Network. He used to be the Cleveland Browns all-pro offensive tackle. Should the Browns extend Baker Mayfield this offseason?
I think they should try, for sure. Baker definitely proved himself that he can be and he should be the franchise quarterback for a long time in Cleveland. I think there's a lot of questions at the beginning of the season. His performance was up and down. It was streaky. It was a little bit of like what we saw in year two from Baker. But the way he played down the stretch, the way he was able to make great decisions, the way he really embraced the offense that Kevin Stefanski runs, which requires a lot of on-the-move bootlegs, rollout type throws that Baker Mayfield has been extremely accurate with. And I think he also showed that he is the type of guy that can be the leader of men. He can be the leader of this franchise and the face of the franchise for a long time. So, you know, the dollars and cents sometimes are a little bit tough to agree to when you're talking quarterback money, because certainly Baker's agent is going to ask for more than Patrick Mahomes got, because that's just the nature of the business, right? When you're a young franchise all-pro potential player, especially at the quarterback position, you're always going to try to reset the market. But there's going to be a lot of challenging issues with this contract, because obviously he hasn't had the success that Patrick Mahomes has had. And we're talking about a salary cap situation where the salary cap is going to shrink this offseason versus traditionally it's going up 2-4% every offseason. So it's easier to ask for more money than the last guy because of inflation.
Yeah, but Joe, I got to see another year. You know, I fell in love with Baker rookie year. Then he fell off second year. Stefanski did a wonderful job. I think they found their identity of who they are. I got to see, you know, he's a good quarterback, but make an all pro. I don't know. I gotta wait a little bit. There's no way I want to extend him this offseason. Unless I get a team friendly deal, then I would look at it. But I look at these teams like the Rams. If you gave them a do over. The Niners gave them a do-over. The Eagles, if I gave them a do-over. I can't rush into this here.
Yeah, the problem, though, when you're talking about the quarterback, the most important position in sports, it's not exactly easy to say and play hardball with somebody and say, ah, you know, we'll let you walk and we'll go find somebody else, because there's not a lot of somebody else's hiding behind rocks. And so I think the important thing is you engage him. You try to get a deal done, like you said, team-friendly. You know, that's still going to be an enormous amount of money. And, you know, I think Baker's the type of competitor that he wants to win. And so maybe he's okay not resetting the quarterback market, but just getting something towards the top.
But why does everybody have to get more, Joe? Nobody should make more than Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. No one.
Forever? Like, at some point, somebody's going to make more money than Patrick Mahomes.
Who is going to be more valuable than Patrick? That person's probably in high school right now. But nobody should be making more than Patrick Mahomes makes during this contract.
Well, the Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year contract.
Yes.
So at some point, that contract is going to look like he was probably underpaid. And it's probably not too far down the line, because if he continues to play at an MVP level, taking his teams to Super Bowls.
Well, he's going to be underpaid, Joe. That contract is, we're going to go, man, they only have to pay him $50 million. But he's going to be underpaid. But there's only one Mahomes there. Dak Prescott is not Patrick Mahomes.
So I think the agent's always going to ask for the Patrick Mahomes plus a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And then here's the thing, though. Like, as a quarterback, you have the leverage, because, like I said, there's less than 32 great quarterbacks that can lead a team to the playoffs and that can preserve the jobs of the coach and the general manager. And so those guys are always going to be so worried that, hey, if we don't get this player under contract, he's going to leave, and then we're going to be left holding the bag, and we're going to get fired in 2 years. And that's the nature of being a general manager and a head coach in this business, is that if you don't have a quarterback, you only have a couple years, and you're going to get fired, because the quarterback is so important to wins and losses in the NFL. Without it, you have no chance.
Yeah, I got to wait. I do. I'd rather run the risk, because I'm just not sure. As much as I love what they've done, like, is Odell Beckham going to be on the team next year? What role does that play in Baker's development? You got two running backs. Are you keeping two running backs there? You got a really good offensive line. I think the building blocks are there. I just, you know, I would say to Baker, let's go in with both, you know, looking at this as a bigger picture here, but we want to make sure that, you know, this is going to work out.
I think these are good problems, though. Like, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, and you're talking about, we got all these good young players that we want to sign, you're going, this is an okay situation to be in, because we haven't been here. But I think the risk, if you wait too long, you kind of see what happened in Dallas with Dak. But let's say Baker continues to improve at the trajectory that he's headed at. He may expect Patrick Mahomes' money, because if he goes and delivers the team to the playoffs next year and becomes, let's say, maybe not a first team all pro, but he's a Pro Bowler or maybe a second team all pro, then he deserves a Patrick Mahomes contract, because we're going to be a few years removed. We're going to assume the salary cap's going to bounce back up. And then as a team, you might be a lot more handcuffed. If you sign him right now, you might have the ability to structure the contract to be able to get all those other guys you've mentioned also under contract. The sooner you do those deals, history shows us, the better and the more likely it is to be able to get the rest of the good players that made your team what it was under contract.
All right. I think we're on the same page. I'm just a little more nervous here about jumping in.
I'm with you. I'm not saying that I feel as good as if I would have signed Patrick Mahomes to a long-term deal, but that's the nature of the business. There's risk and reward with every contract, especially at the quarterback position.
Have you ever gone to the line of scrimmage, as the Green Bay Packers offensive line does quite often, knowing that the guy behind you, like
no, I've never had Aaron Rodgers behind me.
No, yes, but the feeling, that feeling of, my God, I got so much confidence in these. Did you see the picture of Aaron where he goes to the line of scrimmage and he looks at the defense and all of a sudden he smiles, and this is the Lazard touchdown. He knows what's going to happen. He's smiling at the defense to say, really? That's what you're going to do? I have you ever blocked for somebody like, you know, that had that kind of... Okay.
No. I'll stop you right there and say no, but it reminds me of a Friday practice. And Friday practices in the NFL, they would call Fast Friday, right? Because every play is scripted for success. So your quarterback should complete 29 out of 30 passes on a Friday practice. And every time he goes up there, he knows exactly the look the defense is giving him, and he knows where the ball's going to go, and he knows it's going to be a touchdown. That is life as Aaron Rodgers.
Who's your pick in the AFC title game?
I like the Bills, actually. I'm nervous because I don't know, A, if Patrick Mahomes is going to be there. And then if he is going to be there, there's been some mention about a toe injury, the nerve issue. There's a lot of question marks. Even if he is able to be there, how mobile is he going to be? And as everybody knows, like, his ability to escape pressure is a big part of why he is the most talented quarterback of this generation, because you can't blitz him, because he just escapes pressure and then he throws the ball 60 yards down the field to Tyreek Hill or 50 yards down the field to Travis Kelce. So with that mobility, it makes him almost impossible to defend. And if he doesn't have that, I think it kind of shifts the balance in the favor of the Bills, who are playing great football and are playing great defense right now.
What about the NFC title game?
Hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know.
Well, usually it's hard to pick against Tom Brady.
I know, but it's really hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers right now, who's playing the best football of his career. He just seems to absolutely love the offense that Matt LaFleur has installed for him. And I know since the bye week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have been on the same page. I mean, they're humming along right now, but I think that ends in Green Bay this weekend, because Aaron Rodgers in that offense, like you said, he's going to be at the line of scrimmage just chuckling to himself when he sees Tampa's defense.
Oh, my God. Although I like that Tampa defense. One more item. You know, players have to prepare to retire. And when you start thinking about retiring, then you should retire, as a former player once said to me. But I don't know what Drew Brees is thinking, because you go out like that where you played terribly. But if you win, you don't want to go out either, Joe. So it's sort of that taffy pole of, you know, like, what do you think will lead Drew Brees into that decision?
as a competitor, you always are convincing yourself that you're A, going to win, and B, you've got more in you. I mean, if you would have asked Jerry Rice last weekend, hey, are you ready to strap it up and go play in the games this weekend? He'd be like, oh, I'm ready. I can do it, right? Because you convince yourself in your brain every single time you go to the line of scrimmage that you're better than the guy you're going against. And for Drew, like you mentioned, you'd hate to go out with that as your last performance. Brady's last pass in New England was an interception. And you hate to go out that way, but also when you win, you say, hey, I got more left in me. So there's really no time as a competitor that it's easy to say, yes, this is the right time. I mean, like,
yeah, but you were 33 when you retired, right?
I was, and it was an injury thing. I knew that I couldn't do it anymore because the injuries were piling up so significantly. As a quarterback, you feel like, oh, even though I don't have as much arm, I can just anticipate things better, and my brain has overcome things. And so you always feel like you can still make those passes. Whereas a lineman, you know, when I'm getting steamrolled and I'm laying on my back and then I'm getting my knee injected every single week, it's a lot easier to step away from that than it is as a quarterback, just because you don't get those beatings during the week. And you always feel like in your head that there's some type of mental game that can help you overcome any limitations that your arm is facing.
Great stuff, Joe. Always great to catch up with you. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dan.
That's Joe Thomas, the NFL Network analyst, former Browns All-Pro offensive tackle. Wasn't Joe hunting on the day of the draft? And I remember talking to his agent, and I said, hey, we're looking for Joe. Is he like that Monday? Because he went hunting. Maybe his agent was looking for him as well. I think we tracked down Joe Thomas. He was hunting, and he had been drafted by the Cleveland Browns. It was just one of those where's Joe? And, he's hunting. He chose to do that instead of going to the NFL draft. We'll take a break. Once again, I got some information on Tennessee Volunteers and a surprise candidate. I think you'll be surprised. Nothing official, but I had a source who said, here's a name to mention as a, what if? Yeah, Paul.
Are we playing the Who Are the Tennessee Vols Going to Hire game? We haven't done that in a couple of years now. Well, we have the music ready.
Hopefully we're not doing it in a couple more years after this, too. No, there's some interesting information about the Volunteers and their recruiting and how it led to this and who they might hire, because there's a Hall of Fame quarterback involved in this process as well. So we'll take a break. Back after this, play of the day, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Draymond catches, hand off Curry. Curry backs up, takes a deep three over Davis. It's good! Curry makes it 115 to 110 with a minute 5 to go. He's got 26.
Courtesy of 95.7 The Game, the Warriors Radio Network. Lakers led by as many as 19 in the first, 14 in the fourth. Steph led the way with 26. He was only 3 of 12 behind the three-point line. Golden State hosts the Spurs coming up tomorrow night. That is your play of the day, and your play of the day is brought to you by Going the Extra Mile, that tricked-out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To get official rules to enter, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. Yes, Paul.
I was watching Lakers-Warriors last night, and it's pretty clear what the Lakers' plan was. They were just going to throw people at Steph Curry. There was points where there was two or three dudes around him, and he's trying to, like, duck and dip his shoulders between 6'11 dudes. It was pretty fascinating to watch. I know on paper he didn't have a great game, but the defense was all over him.
All right, here's some information I have on Tennessee Volunteers with Jeremy Pruitt got fired and Phil Fulmer, the athletic director. I said they were going to go after him as well from my source. He decided to retire, and whoever goes in has got some hurdles probably with the NCAA that they're going to have to navigate. The people who are going to make this pick, this choice for the next head coach, the Haslam brothers, Peyton Manning, is going to be involved in it, reportedly going to be involved in it. And I was told that, you know, there's a few things that are going on here. And I asked my source, I said, how did they get these assistant coaches on recruiting violations? And he said, well, they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to the recruits when they came on campus. Some of the, you know, the campus visits were not organized or they were not above board, but they were handing out cash. I don't know if it was through the drive-thru.
That's a Happy Meal.
So you literally had bagmen, and they put the cash in McDonald's bags and handed it to the recruits. My source said they were so in your face with this. They weren't even trying to hide it. And that's where my source said, Tennessee got sloppy, Georgia has gotten sloppy, but there's been no word on the NCAA looking at Georgia. But Tennessee, they got sloppy, and they were handing out cash in McDonald's bags. I haven't been to McDonald's in a long, long time. But
I used to get those little figurines. Definitely not cash.
Here's another possibility. Here, like, they're looking at names here. Who's going to take over the program? Who's going to go in there? And I was told Hugh Freeze is not getting the job. I was told Hugh Freeze might, this might be more of the SEC saying, I got to get it correct here. The SEC might be blocking the possibility of Hugh Freeze covering, coaching Tennessee. So you would be discouraging Tennessee from hiring Hugh Freeze. He's already been in this before with Ole Miss, but he was at Liberty and he's done a good job at Liberty. But I was told that Hugh Freeze was probably not going to be on the short list there. Here was a name that was brought to my attention by somebody else. How about Jason Witten? Just a what if Jason Witten as the next head coach. Throw that out there. Whether it sticks or not, no idea. But that's the information that I have with the Tennessee Volunteers. Man, very, very happy meal. Yes, I'm loving it. That'd be, you know, you could do a get Tennessee football players. I'm loving it. Got their bag full of money there.
But yes. They deserve a break today.
Okay, I like that, Todd. Yes, Paulie.
Two-part question. If you were the president and the whoever is running athletics at Tennessee, would you offer Peyton Manning whatever he wants to be the new athletics director and oversee football operations? Both. Not coach, but Manning has a lot of stuff to do.
I would do it, but if I'm Peyton,
you would not consider it.
No.
That's my second part. If you're Peyton, you have the keys to Tennessee athletics.
It's tough to go back to your alma mater. Like Patrick Ewing's at Georgetown. He is the singular face there, voice there in the history of that program with John Thompson. But if you start to struggle, like Chris Mullin at St. John, eventually, like, you don't want to fire a legend. And that's why, you know, if Peyton comes in and how involved and is this what you want to do? Like, he's been talking about maybe running a team or being a general manager of an NFL team. Yeah, McLevin.
So Jason Witten wasn't enough of a legend in college to have that same Clyde Drexler problem?
Like, no, no.
Okay, so he was like a lower key.
Yeah, but a former Tennessee Volunteer, and he might be one of those guys. You bring in integrity.
1 year and then take over from McCarthy in Dallas. He's a future Cowboys coach if I ever saw one. Don't you think that makes sense someday?
I don't know. How about we let him ease into a job? It's just like Monday Night Football, Jason Witten. He wasn't ready to do it.
NFL commissioner.
Yeah. Josh Norman of the Buffalo Bills coming up. And Chris Webber on just how good the Nets are without Kyrie. One of the books, two more to go. Dan Patrick Show. Close out first hour with Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder just how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Variety of vans. They have the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that we're giving away. The versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. With options like blind spot assist and active lane keeping assist. Plus MBUX voice command technology. You get directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and a whole lot more. And no better way to go the extra mile than in your very own upfitted or tricked out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you could win by entering Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. That's Rig Sweepstakes. Just head to foxsportsradio.com or better yet, danpatrick.com. Enter, get official rules for a chance to win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van equipped with TVs, a wood pellet grill. Get all the information, entry details, foxsportsradio.com, danpatrick.com, sweepstakes end January 24th.